Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me in the studio today, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. I'm telling you, the boys are back in town. Call us, 1-800-229-3000.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, "Well, I know it's not my birthday," and sat down on the couch.
Oh, I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
It was Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a 3-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school, high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me, the two wisest people I know, and I'm looking for someone wiser, but right now, these are the two, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing all right, and I'm glad you're with us today. John, I think the last
Henry's here, too.
Henry, great. Good to see you. I mean, not see you, but listen to you, because we're in two separate studios.
Hey, Stevie.
Hey, John, I think the last time I saw you, you were in Indy.
No. Yeah. It was in Indy when we were together at a leadership conference.
Yeah. And you were doing the leading, and it was really good. Really, really good. Well, guys, today we're focusing on boundaries. You're focusing on boundaries. I have no ability to focus on anything, but I'm going to try to pay attention. And maybe from each of you, we could start with something that you know about boundaries. How about you, Henry, starting us off?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
How's that for what I know about it?
And he just did it.
Steve, I got to tell you a funny story about that. Not too long after the book came out, a pastor who is one of these kind of anti-counseling
types. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, a big pulpit type, calls me and said, "I'd like to speak with you." And I said, "Okay." So we get on the phone. He's really, you know, anti whatever any psychologist would say, right? And so he says, "Well, I just got to tell you, I got a real problem with this boundary stuff. I don't like it, and I just want to tell you that." I said, "Well, kind of puts you in a little bit of a dilemma because you just did it."
That's good. That is good.
And I mean, you might, whatever it is you disagree with, it may be where some people draw the boundaries, but don't tell me you disagree with drawing boundaries because you just did it with me.
I just
it's
love that.
It's built into the creation.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a little biased, but I try to lump everybody into one big barrel, but I think the pastors that are anti-counseling, usually when you get to know them, have the insight of a tick. I mean, it's just not there. Not interested.
Fortunately.
And by the way, we love pastors.
Yeah, absolutely.
We work with zillions of pastors.
I am a pastor. Yeah. I am one.
Well,
but
we love most pastors. But Steve, seriously, you're right. The ones that are anti-counseling and people, you know, working through issues, it usually is some sort of a, you know, control thing.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Well, John, tell us something you know about boundaries.
Well, I think one of the things that people misunderstand is it sounds like it's me. It's selfish. You know, it's all about, you know, doing stuff to make myself feel better and all this. And let's change the S word from selfish to stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 4 says to guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life. And if you're not doing the note muscle and making choices and taking care of your responsibilities in life and your heart and your feelings and your money and your all that, you're not going to complete what God had for you. So it's about protecting the future.
Yeah, it really is. And the poor steward has no boundaries, and everything they have gets carried off by somebody else, gets wasted because somebody plunders it. And you want to hold on to what God has given you. And that's a lot. So we all need boundaries. We'll talk more about that. We'll take phone calls right after this. Glad you're with us on New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. We are the original boys of New Life, and those were the days. I don't know that they were any better than the days today, but those were the days.
I think most people would think it's better now.
That was fun. Hey, Steve, I had a boundaries thought I want to share with you.
Okay.
One of the things I think that it's important to realize, and John was mentioning the selfish thing, is generally what we see is that people that need boundaries are the least selfish people in the world. They're just, you know, very, 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 very much givers. And the problem is that because they're givers, they end up giving and giving and giving where it's really not helping, because it's turned into enabling, because they're getting controlled through guilt and manipulation by irresponsible people and addicts and controlling people and very self-centered people. And what happens is they're not really giving anymore. They're being stolen from by people's character problems. And what boundaries does is it's the teaching of the Bible that says, wait a minute, you're supposed to be giving, but you're supposed to be giving to people in need. And they utilize what you give them, and they become responsible with it, and they become grateful. And so it's the stopping giving to people who are using you and controlling you for their own character problems and addictions and all that, and taking that same giving and energy and giving it to people who truly have a need. Mm. And so it's not even, you know, about a lot of times for people whether or not I'm going to be selfish. It's where am I going to spend the giving I'm already doing?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, like am I somebody else's Prozac so they don't have to think about their issues, or am I really helping the need?
Well, you know what I say, if you're not going to set boundaries, be sure you charge a user fee, because people are going to use you. They're going to use you and use you up. Let's go to the phones.
And as Dave Ramsey says, for all the years that you've done it well, that was just your stupid tax. You paid your stupid tax.
So I love that.
Let's get down a new road.
All right, let's go to Mr. Brent in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
How are you?
Hi there. How are you?
I'm peachy. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Brent. How
Good.
Can we help you?
Well, first, thank you. It's an honor to be able to talk to you all. I guess my question would be, to give you the question up front, how do you maintain or work with boundaries with parents who don't seem to be embracing that, and yet you want relationship with my wife and I desperately want relationship with, it's my parents, and yet they don't seem to be even trying to at times embrace the boundaries that we're trying to set.
All right. Tell us a specific boundary you're trying to set.
Well, I grew up in the ministry. I'm a pastor. My wife and I are both in ministry, and I'm a fourth generation PK, so I have fantastic parents, great parents, godly parents, and yet very, when my wife and I were first married, things were going great. We actually were working at the church where they had pioneered. And early on, it was kind of naivety on both of our parts. We kind of did whatever we were told, and there was no boundaries whatsoever. Working together, obviously, in ministry, but even in the marriage.
Were you on the staff of the church?
Yes. I was doing, we had started a church, pioneered a church, and I was doing youth and music.
So your father was your dad and your boss.
Yes. And
have you ever thought about what John just said, that there are two different roles and two different responsibilities?
I see that now.
Okay.
10 years later, and it wasn't just my dad. My mother was a co-pastor of the church with him, and that's
a winning combination for trouble right there with you, with boundaries.
Well, not only that, but she was the dominating parent to begin with, growing up as a child, she's the domineering one of the two of them. So it was it was an interesting combination to say the least. But at the time, and we were young in ministry and in life, and so the boundaries were not there. And as we began to have children, and my wife, who had grown up with boundaries and had just naturally done really well with boundaries, she started to try and show me the light, but I was whipped, so to speak, in terms of I just thought whatever my parents did was directly from God. And so that didn't really work well, and I didn't embrace that. I did not protect her, honor her. I was kind of, like I said, whipped in that. And when I made the choice to move and take another pastorate position, because it was that or lose my marriage type of thing.
And by the way, for those of you who are listening, and that sounds like, terrible kind of quandary, what he was really doing in terms of the dynamics of it is getting in line with the created order. You know, God specifically outlined it that way, that there would be a leaving and a cleaving. And so people have to put their marriages first, and extended family is very, very important, but it comes behind that. And when that causes a conflict, then you have to recognize that while we are to love our parents for sure and spend time with them and have extended relationships and all of that, that's second in line from the immediate family of leaving and cleaving.
Exactly. And like I said, after we moved, I started to read, I actually, Boundaries was the first book of yours that I read, and I don't know if there's any books of yours that I do not have now, and enjoy reading them consistently and constantly, but started to put these boundaries in place, and it hasn't been embraced. And one of the other things that I noticed in all of this was that I started to realize, by the way that my mother, treated my wife, was that they never really accepted her. They wanted her to be a puppet or to be somebody they thought that...
Brent, give us a specific on a boundary you set with mom and dad, and when you say they rejected or didn't accept them, what's the specific?
Yeah, what's your problem right now with them?
What particular boundary?
Yeah.
In other words, how can we help?
Yeah, because of the way that they've treated my wife, we have asked that they deal with us together, that they talk to us together, that they show an interest in both of us, not just me. They've excluded her. They've secluded themselves to me, and they're not doing that right now. It's been 6 months since we've talked, because the last time was a situation where my mother treated my wife like garbage, and we said, this is the way it's got to be. You've got to talk to us together. You've got to realize this is not just...
So they've withdrawn from you because you've said right now there's a we, and until you can speak to the we, there's no conversation. So they have totally shut down?
Exactly.
Oh, you know what? I'm confused, because I thought you said they were Christians. Because Christians don't treat people like this.
Yeah, this is bad.
It's too bad.
Well,
hey, Brent, what's their justification? Do they tell you why that's not something they want to do? It's kind of good to find out what they're thinking.
I wondered if you'd ask that. If I was them, I would they'd probably be saying that we have treated them with dishonor, that we haven't honored them, that we have not, that Amanda has not honored them, that I have not honored them as parents, know that we've spoken to them in a way that you don't speak to your parents.
Well, I've got a fix for you then.
Yeah.
See, because they're taking it off the Amanda thing and putting it onto the you guys are disrespectful thing. So go their way, and say, we would never want to do that. We might not agree on everything, but we do love and honor you. So when can the four of us meet to hash this out?
And see, that is, now let me ask, I guess that goes to my next question. I really don't know. I don't mind talking to them, but when they hash things out, they bring up stuff, guys, from years back of...
Brent, you got to control the conversation. Henry and I wrote a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation, and there's a whole section there in Diversions and Rabbit Trails.
Right.
And you got to come in and say, let's have some ground rules. We love you guys. We've got to get this thing about our alienation solved. And when they start talking about 30 years ago, there's a section of the book that says, you know, you give that like 90 seconds and say, great, we'll talk about that later. Let's get back to the agenda. You need probably some training in how to control a conversation so that the agenda is produced. But you ought to have it once you have the training.
And on the other side of that, you know, if there are things from the past that are unresolved, There needs to be an agenda to talk about those. And if they have, you know, if they feel like that you guys have done some things, then you've got to be open to hearing it and clarifying, and where there are apologies needed, do that. And if there's not, that conversation becomes a point to really talk about, you know, I'm really sorry, for example, that we don't see you, you know, or go to your church, or, you know, are there every day, or whatever it is, and I can understand that that's hard for you. At the same time, this is probably a good moment to clarify, you know, how we will have a relationship together and what it looks like.
How do you do that if you know that their agenda isn't to grow as much as it's to stay?
Well, I think when you get into impugning, kind of, you know, or figuring out motives or this, that, and the other, you really, really get lost. Let me role play it with you, okay? I will be, I'll be you, and you be them, and you show me what that looks like. So, hi, Mom and Dad, looking forward to figuring out how we can spend some time together.
We'd love to do that, son. Why is it that we can't come to your church when we are there visiting you?
I don't know. I think a lot of people can come to our church. Why can't you?
You're the ones who have shut us out. You are the ones who don't honor us and respect us.
Well, just hold on a second. We told you you couldn't attend the church?
Not specific. Well, on one occasion you asked that we not, yes.
Okay. Was it like a special occasion for some reason?
No.
They might have a point there, Brent.
I mean, what was the reason that you asked them to not? And if it's like one day or something for a specific reason, but
did they stand up in the church and yell or something?
Or is there like a shadow of this big pastor that, you know, fills the room and then you can't do what you're supposed to do? Or what is it?
I use that example, and that's almost going into another issue. Part of the, and maybe I shouldn't have, but the idea of that was that our relationship with them was completely and solely based on ministry. It was never just a family. It was always based on...
Well, then I think that's something that you clarify, and you say, you know, I think one of the problems we've had, Mom and Dad, is that we have our family relationship, and then we have the ministry. And sometimes I think that gets very confusing. And, you know, in the family, I think it's good for us to talk about time we all have together and time that we have separate and kind of how to do that. And then let's put the ministry side over on another piece of paper and figure out what that looks like. Because I think they really get confusing, and apparently it's hurtful to you guys, and we don't want that, so let's talk about it.
No, I agree. I hear what you're saying, and we've actually done that, and that I don't know if I don't really believe their intentions are to hurt. I just almost think that they're almost incapable. I've been seeing a counselor for the last year and a half about this, and his words to me is that he just doesn't even know if they're necessarily capable of understanding or seeing where I'm coming from.
That's not something that you can control. What you can control is that you're loving to them and honest, and be clear about what you want to do and what you don't do.
And move your whole orientation toward accepting them. If they are unable to truly be with you and understand your situation, then accept them for what they are. They have a handicap there.
We'll send you a copy of How to Have the Difficult Conversation, Brent.
That would be okay. Thank you.
But don't drive yourself up the wall over, you know, people that essentially have no ability to have insight.
But have the talk so you can find out clearly
yes.
where you can have a meeting of the minds and hearts, and right. then you'll know what limits are. You haven't had yep. that yet. Put the structure on it.
All right. The music says we're going to take a break. and we are, and we will come back after that with more boundaries discussions. You know, we have free tips, 5 ways to develop boundaries. 5 ways. These are healthy ways. And sometimes, just like we heard, a boundary, we think we're setting a boundary, but it becomes a wall. And we just want the boundary, not the wall. We'll be back with more right after this on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today for New Life.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. Have you heard that last little spot there? It says, someone is always there who cares at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and that is the truth. You will always find somebody there that cares about your life and how things are going, and they want to help you. So you call them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's talk to Amber from Dallas, Texas. Hello, Amber. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
How can we help you today?
I am divorced with 2 kids, and I've recently started dating again.
How long have you been divorced?
Oh, since 2007.
Okay, and what was the reason for the divorce?
He was a repeat offender. He cheated and did all kinds of crazy stuff.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Okay, so the question for us?
Yes, I have boundaries in place for dating. I've dated a little bit since my divorce, but I can't seem to keep my boundaries in place.
Okay, so
give us an example then.
Well, physically, with whoever I'm dating.
You mean you can't put the brakes on sexually?
Correct.
How quickly?
6 months to a year.
6 months to so you'll be in a real attachment with someone. Is that right?
Yes. And I know I have, you know, codependent issues and Al-Anon and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I need you to clarify. You're in a relationship for 6 months before you're sexual, or for 6 months to a year you've been sexual really early in a relationship because you can't control your boundaries?
Both.
Oh, I heard it the first way, that you'll, or the second, I don't know which way, that after 6 months you really get attached to somebody, and that's when you give up your boundaries.
Well, it's happened both ways.
Okay.
Where it's been, you know, 6 months to a year we're dating, and then it becomes sexual after having a pretty healthy relationship,
mm-hmm.
As well as getting attached very early on and it going sexual at that
time. So what have you done to address this?
Well, I stopped dating.
Yeah.
Well, that'll knock it out right there.
That's it. You know, I would say this from just the little bit you've said, that I would wonder if the big problem here is it not that you have a sexual limits problem, which you know have already said, and obviously you do, but the big problem is you got a dependency problem. That
Wow.
you, because in, you know, we're only talking about a handful of years here, and for there to be 6 months to a year more than once, so we're not talking about a lot of times of not being in relationship, and it sounds like you go from one to another one. Is that right?
Well, there's only been two or three, but after it happens, then I get all depressed. We'll
yeah.
break up because I want to be, I am a Christian. I want to mm-hmm. serve God, and, you know, I don't want to do those things. So
when you give up the sex, though, when you give up the sex, what are you still getting after you say no to the sex in your life? In other words, when you're in one of these relationships and you glob onto a guy pretty quickly and get in deep, and that need for human contact and that need for intimacy and connectedness and all of that sort of stuff, you give up the sexual part of that, but where are you getting those needs met?
They're not. Typically, the relationship ends. Either I get
right
and thrown away, or I end it because I can't live like that anymore, and I just have to. I'd just rather be alone.
Right. So, if you had a flip chart, I'd want you to draw a diagram that connectedness equals sex on one side, and so then
or sex and romance.
Yeah. That it's all together. Okay. So connection equals sex/romance. And then if you're not going to have that, then you go to the other side of the pendulum where you're alone and isolated. And that's the problem. That's what I meant by dependency, that no one can survive in the alone and isolated part. And if the only option you've got from there is to go into a romance, then you're in a dependent romantic spectrum, and it's just going to go back and forth forever. So the answer is to have a third position on the flip chart. It isn't sex and romance equals connection, but from isolation moving to connection that's not sexual, because that will actually heal you.
Right. It's just I have trust issues, and I don't allow...
Well, hold it.
How
hold
can
it,
you
hold
say
it,
you
hold
have
trust? Hold it. You trust these bozos who are using you.
Exactly.
Don't say you have trust issues. You're not trusting the good people like non-sexual, non-erotic buddies and friends and support groups and spiritual mentors and coaches and counselors and small groups. You're not trusting them, but you're trusting the bozos. So you got to switch the trust muscle here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, to say that you have trust issues and you know, come on. You're opening the door pretty quickly there.
Well,
yeah.
You're not discretionary about your trust.
I wrote a book called Beyond Boundaries. It just came out last week, and it's about all this stuff. Who to trust, how to trust, the right way, and we'll send you a copy. But this is it's in the sweet spot of what you're dealing with.
Okay,
I'm glad you called. You hold on, and... we'll get a copy of that to you. You're listening to New Life Live. We're listener supported. We love giving the truth of the Bible and applying it to people's lives. We've been doing it for over 20 years. But every day we need your help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Artiber here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. You guys, anything else you want to say to Amber or for Amber about sexual boundaries and dating?
Yeah, I think that what happens in this area a lot of times, Steve, is that people forget the whole counsel of God. And what it says over and over and over in a lot of different ways is it says, put off the old and put on the new.
Mm-hmm.
So there's to get well always in anything, there are things that we have to stop doing. But there are things we have to start doing. And if she's got this big hole in her heart for connection and she stops, she tries to stop having sex, and that's how she's getting all of her connectedness, and then she's going to, the loneliness starts and it gets greater and greater and greater because she hasn't put on anything new.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really needs to get plugged in to some very, very nurturing, frequent, structured relationships that feed her, like, very good groups and small circle of friends where she's having her heart touched at deep levels. And here's what's interesting. If you think about this developmentally, children, to become healthy, children have their hearts connected with for years and 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 years before they ever become sexual. See, sexuality is not a dependent function. It's supposed to be reserved for adults who are fully intact people, and that's why, parent, child, any kind of sexual behavior there is a crime because it totally splits and divides somebody. So when people have unmet dependency needs and they're trying to meet those sexually, it is as if there's a child inside of them kind of being abused. And that's why they feel thrown away, a lot of times in these serial relationships. And so it's very important to get the non-romantic, non-sexual love needs met in order to be healed.
All right. Well, I'll send her a copy of your book there, John, Beyond Boundaries, and I hope that will be helpful. Let's go to Christine from Lakewood, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Christine. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Speak right up there.
I'm on this journey of stepping away from codependency. And I've recently set some new boundaries, not new, well, with my husband. to try and step away from not being a part of his addiction.
Is he excited about that?
And
is he real excited recently, about you doing that?
I think he's, you know, cooperating. For example, one really big step I took was no drunk sex. I'm not withholding, I'm postponing, and I make it very clear to him that I desire him very much, but I won't be a part of his drunkenness. Mm-hmm. And so,
okay.
So, keeping that in mind, recently we've been drug testing our boys because they're in and out of trying to stay away from marijuana. And so we've also set boundaries with them. They're 16, 19, and 20. So for the older ones, if they want a handout from us or they want us to support them in any way, we say, you know, pee in a cup. And and they'll either pee in the cup and test clean, or they'll say, you know what, don't waste the test, I'm not going to be clean. And then,
you know, my hat is so off to you. It
absolutely
sounds like you're like the, you know, you're trying to be the voice of sanity and health in a family that's been out of control, and I'm sure it's not easy, and just way to go.
Thanks.
So what's the big dilemma?
So, you know, last night, he comes in to me and he says, you know, what if I started smoking pot? You know, what would you do to me? How come they get away with it, but I don't get away with anything?
Are they getting away with it?
They aren't. I mean, it's like something like it's an occasional thing they do at parties, but again, I won't support it.
Well,
I want to make sure to them that it's...
Yeah, I know that that's not what you called about, but it does sound like there's some squishy room in there. It when you said it earlier, it's like, okay, you know, if they can't pass the test and they can't get things like, you know, money and privileges and stuff like that, but it ought to be, especially with somebody who's 16... I mean, if they're not clean, not only should they not get things, but some bad things should start happening to them.
Right. The 16-year-old is, we've got him on lockdown. He's
okay.
Gotten in trouble.
All right. So there are some limits there, but why does your husband think that they get away with it?
I don't know, and that's why I'm asking you. It's like, I feel like I'm being held responsible to carry all of this out while he stands on the sidelines, and if I'm not doing enough, I get criticized for it. And so I'll ask him, okay, so what is it? What should I be doing next? Tell me, and I don't get an answer for that.
So he's expecting you to do everything in relation to their drug problem?
That's the way it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a period of sobriety for a few months, and
Christine, is the dynamic for you, or is the struggle for you more that he's not getting it and blaming you and you're all alone, or is it more that you don't have good answers for his questions?
It's that I don't feel I have good answers or good responses. Absolutely.
Well, it's kind of what it sounded like to me, like he asks you these insane questions because he's in the middle of some kind of, you know, addiction, and then you feel like you're put on the spot to defend what you're doing with him and the boys and all this. And I think
to defend what I'm doing with my life.
Here's what I think is going on: is you're giving enormous power to this man for like whether you're doing the right thing or not, and he's disqualified. He's your husband, and hopefully he'll get better. But for these sort of like kind of questions he has, I think what you need to do is you need to be spending time with people who are get it, who are godly, who are smart, who understand recovery and parenting and addictions, and make sure you've really green-lighted all the answers, and then go back with your husband and say, okay, here's why I've done this, and I'd like for us to be a team. But take the power out of his questions and come back and try to ally with him, but don't lose your confidence because he throws you off the trolley with a question. You need to be sure of yourself with other people.
Yeah, and along those lines, one of the techniques that you could use to do that is when he comes and criticizes you about it, say, you know what, I understand you're frustrated, but here's what I have to say. I would love your help in setting up these boundaries and parenting and consequences and all of that. And I would love for you to partner with me in this. What I don't like is if you're not going to partner with me in it, then don't criticize what I'm doing. Okay? So I want you to do one or the other. Either join me in it,
yeah,
and then you can have input, or stop criticizing. Now, what I would really like to do is I would like for you and I to go together to talk to the pastor, you know, or to talk to a good counselor and talk about what we need to do with the kids.
Thank you for saying that. I've actually taken that stance with him.
Yeah.
Actually did that last night and said, this isn't, you know, what, it's not about what am I going to do. It should be, what should we do together?
Right.
We need to figure this out together. He's still shut down on me on that. And
okay.
I've asked him to.
You can't control that, but
talk to someone too, and he thinks that we should be able to talk things out, and that we don't need a third party.
Okay, well, we should be able to do it, and I would love to talk to you. So let's talk, and if you don't shut down and stop talking, then you're right, we can do it. But if you do, that's when we need to go talk to somebody. And if you don't want to go with me, then I'll go talk to somebody, because I got to figure out how to cope with parenting and being married, you know, when somebody won't talk to me.
So don't let his withdrawal get you derailed. You want him, but you've got to help this family get better.
I heard in one of the other broadcasts that couples who struggle with infidelity should be in a restorative intimacy counseling. And I've asked him to do that, and he doesn't want to be a part of that. I think we're just stuck because I have trouble talking to him. I'm so guarded now with
right.
my heart.
And I think that's where it's really important, getting in a room with a third party, because you guys have shown, you know, a pattern of when you start to talk, it doesn't really go to a good place for either one of you. And that's usually the time that we need help.
Well, I think it begs the question, what do you do when you've been hurt, when the person's been unfaithful, and then they won't get any kind of help, they won't do any kind of restoration? What's the best thing for someone like that to do?
God's program has always been to reach out and say, I really want you to change, but if you don't, I've got to allow you to experience the reality of your character. And
mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. I think we missed something with Christine about, from Matthew 18. If you got a husband that's stuck, you go get somebody and ask them to meet with the two of you. Come over to the house, pastor. Don't you think that's many times that can be the thing that shakes it loose?
Yeah, a lot of times, especially, Steve, when, we have a lot of listeners who are, married to somebody that's a drug addict or a substance abuser. And there are, you could probably count on one hand, right, the amount of times over, an entire career doing this that you see a drug addict or an alcoholic listen to a spouse who says, I want you to stop using.
Right.
And all of a sudden gets clean. Usually it takes the power of relationships that have leverage with that person, and that's through an intervention or something like that. And we think about that a lot of times in substance abuse, but we don't think about it enough times, sometimes when a marriage is in trouble and there are severe character problems or acting out, that there are relationships like that strong friendships and circles of friends and the pastor and all of that can have some kind of leverage in getting somebody to listen.
Yeah, I think intervention is a great word for everybody to keep in mind, especially those who aren't in a drug or alcohol addiction situation. We, like you say, we restrict it way too much. All right, let's go to Philadelphia. That'll be our final caller. It's Ann from WFIL. Hi there. Ann? Is Ann there? Perhaps not.
Hi.
Oh. Hello, Ann. How are you?
Good.
How could we help you? Don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call.
Okay, so I have a sexually addicted spouse. We've been married for almost 10 years. And I recently exercised my voice, put some boundaries, did a 30-day separation. He really didn't follow through until the last couple of weeks of doing the recovery work that he needs to do. Now, my question to you is, obviously, I have not had healthy boundaries. How do I maintain boundaries in observing, in knowing that he's changing, if indeed he is? How do I protect myself?
Okay. Is he involved in anything that's healthy?
Yes, he has started attending a local SA group.
Okay.
And a telephone group for sex addicts and intimacy anorexics.
How long has he been doing that?
This is just 2 weeks now.
Okay.
So I've already filed for divorce. I told him that I've set the paperwork in process. And so that's where we're at.
And that's what got him moving, was he didn't want the divorce?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you discovered something. Your marriage means something to him, right?
Right.
Okay. Guys, what do you think? I mean, she needs to be encouraging of the progress and the reaction, but still have her boundaries.
Well, in a situation like this where you don't have a lot of, experience base and haven't done a lot, I think it's really helpful to get some kind of a hall monitor, a third person that knows and works with both of you guys, marriage therapist or addiction specialist or whatever, who can monitor with you his progress, because there's going to be that sort of compliant, I'll get my act together because don't leave me, and it's not really a heart transformational change, it's more just panic states. Mm-hmm. And you really can't trust that, because as the Bible says, the dog returns to his vomit. You know, when that happens, so somebody that can meet with you guys regularly and tell you, he's sober, he's also working what's underneath that, he's working on his inner issues, he sees his impact on you, and I am seeing after this point of time that I think you can begin to start, loosening up the boundaries with him. So get that third person involved.
I see. Okay.
I'm glad you called us, and hall monitor, that's kind of
remember when we were in third grade?
Yeah, interesting concept there. All right. Well, if you need some help with a boundary or two, you can write, call, come by 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, and you can find the book Boundaries. Boundaries in Marriage.
Steve, also, the second part of Beyond Boundaries is called Knowing When the Other Person's Ready. I have an entire third of the book about knowing if the person's ready for the relationship. We can send that to them, too.
Okay. So we'll send that. But there it is. There's Beyond Boundaries. There's Boundaries with Teens, Boundaries in Marriage, Boundaries in Dating, and Boundaries. All of that is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. You can get it there. Over the years in dealing with boundaries, does someone, the diamond fall out of someone's ring there?
Is that John, Steve, you have won many awards over the years, many plaques that are displayed here in the studio.
And, you didn't break one of my awards, did you? I'm kidding.
Let's just say, which one is it? This is the, you are on the distinguished panel of judges of Orange County. And that's the plaque that decided to clamor for attention.
I slid past and it fell down.
That was for the Entrepreneur of the Year contest that I was the judge of. Maybe that's why I won it. I was the
No, that was. It's a good thing that you're not on the Miss America judging panel.
No kidding. No, I won it 1 year and I was a judge the other. All right. So over the years, you've been dealing with boundaries. Tell us something. If anything, you've learned since you wrote the original book, Boundaries.
Well, one of the things that I've learned, Steve, is that this is not a it's not a fad. It's not a what would be the word? Sort of the flavor of the day. You know, everybody that writes, you know, books and self-help kind of relationship stuff, there are things, these trends, and I don't mean fads in that they don't have value, but that they tend to be the hot thing for a while, and then another issue becomes paramount. Well, the weird thing about boundaries that we have been amazed by is that no matter what the culture, and no matter what, you know, whether you're talking about boomers or millennials or Xers or Yers or whoever it is, that boundaries are just a human problem. And that they are just true from toddlerhood to, you know, we're 80, 90 years old and dealing with all people that we love in between, especially the sandwich generation now of adults that have, you know, adult children that they're having to set limits with that they're still kind of enabling and supporting on one end. And on the other end, they've got aging parents that they don't know where to draw the line with and how to help them and yet still preserve a life of their own. So it's just such a universal problem. That's what's been so surprising to me of how it just lives on.
You know, to me, the thing, watching this thing develop and over the years, what's been surprising to me is that there are so many people that have yet to say, I need to set some boundaries. I don't know. They just think it's for somebody else.
Right.
And, boy, it is as biblical as anything, any concept that we talk about here to set a boundary. Well, one of the things that we love to do here is come out and talk with you, and we've got a brand new Lose It for Life program coming up for you. It really is. Man, you set some boundaries with food that maybe you didn't have before. Maybe food is coming over and having dinner with you, food that you didn't invite to dinner, and you don't want them there. You set some boundaries because they're going to make you heavy. Anyway, it's a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And it changes so much. You don't just come to lose the weight. You come to lose the things that lead to the weight. We want to help you. You can find out about that. And you can find out about how to support us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by going to newlife.com. Thank you for being here today. We love you. We care about you. We pray for you every week. And we're going to see you here next time on New Life Live. Thanks, John. Thanks, Henry. Thanks to all of you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652.
Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.